Well, amen. Amen. Got news for you. He's already sent it down. Amen. It's already here. If you know that, give the Lord praise this morning. How many is thankful for the Spirit of the Lord? My, my, my. Goodness gracious alive. We got any saved folks in the house? Come on, are you glad? Are you glad for your salvation? Are you thankful? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. We're so thankful that you come into the house of the Lord to worship this morning with us. It's been a wonderful week, a glorious week. In fact, each and every day that the Lord gives us, and we want to be thankful for all of His blessings. Amen. Let all of our visitors know how much we love them. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Had a very thankful heart this week. You know, it ought to come more than just one week, but this week I've been especially appreciative for what God has done for my family, myself, over our lifetime, really. We were just contemplating. Sister Penny and I are getting to spend a little more time with each other now since we're both retired, and we were just thinking this week how blessed we are and what God has brought us through, the many things. But you know, there's times when we wonder, God, where are you? I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to lift me up. And I'm going to sing this song this morning. I'm so thankful that when we think that we're all alone, think that we're battling one of the biggest problems or battles that we've ever had, if we can just feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, how many knows that He makes everything all right? Amen. Let's do it in F. Well, I'm not a rich man with diamonds to bring. I'm not one for saying I can do anything. See, I'm nothing but no one, just one more grain of sand. Except I've been touched by the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. My footsteps would falter, wide the gulf to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. If you search for the answer but can't comprehend, if that everyday burden seems to fall without end, when in life's room full of empty, you helplessly stand, just wait for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. My footsteps, they would falter, too wide the gulf to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. I remember many, many years ago, I was sitting in the little waiting room there in Eggleston Hospital. Sister Penny was still in the hospital here in Villarica, and they just carried Kevin in what they called Angel One. It's a big, almost a hospital on wheels. It was supplied by Grady Hospital. And as they wheeled my little baby up the room, up the hall there to the room, and I could hear the wailing and the crying, and you know, just in that little waiting room, I just said, Lord, I just need to feel your touch. And you know what? He was not too busy. He was not too preoccupied. He was not a million miles away. He did not send an ambassador or a representative. But I felt the touch of the mighty Master's mighty strong hand. And that's what carried me through. That's the reason this second verse means so very much to me. Now if you search for the answer but can't comprehend, if that everyday burden seems to fall without end, when in life's room full of empty you helplessly stand, just wait for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Sing it with me, church. Oh, now I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand. It's leading me on through this weary my footsteps would falter to wider gulf to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. I feel the touch of the Master. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Praise God. How many knows that God is able? Amen. How many knows that God is willing? How many knows that He's an on-time God? Not an I was God, or a I will be God. But I am God. I like that. Am. That means He's there at all times. My, my, my. Just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Glory. Just want to get into the Word of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. Into the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. My soul is rejoicing. My heart is overflowing this morning with thanks and appreciation to my God for all that He is. And I hope and pray this morning that I can convey that to you this morning, how thankful we need to be to God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this another opportunity, God, to come into your sanctuary to worship you. For those who have gathered here today, Father, I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, you know this congregation. You know each and every individual who is here today. God, if there's any needs, Lord, we know that you can supply those needs. If there's a sickness or affliction, we know that you are the healer of our bodies. God, if there's someone emotionally down or spiritually drained, Father, I pray that you would refresh that spirit this morning. God, I'd ask them humbly that you anoint these lips of clay. God, is nothing more than a vessel and an oracle. That the Holy Spirit may speak to us this morning, God, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. You say, Brother Eddie, y'all do that a lot. We don't do it enough.
That's right.
You can't thank the Lord enough. Amen. All the hand claps in the world is not sufficient praise, amen, for what our Lord and Savior did. And the writings here of the apostle to the church at Corinth has touched on some key things here that I want to bring to our attention this morning. I know that we have just entered and actually gone out. Well, actually, we have not gone out of the season of Thanksgiving. You should never leave the season of Thanksgiving. We've gone through the celebration, but we should have Thanksgiving in our heart each and every day. But the Lord has really been laying it on my heart this particular week to praise Him and thank Him for everything that He has done. So many times, we just want to pick out certain things that we want to thank Him for. But the Scripture tells us here that, you know, we need to thank Him in all things. Everything, we are enriched by Him. That's the good things, the bad things, the unpleasant things sometimes. They're just as enriching to us in our spiritual walk with God as some of the more pleasant things. And I hope that we can bear that out this morning. But if I had a message title, it would simply be Thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. We're entering into a season where gifts will be exchanged. And many gifts will be appreciated, and thoughtful gifts and wonderful gifts. And if you're like us, sometimes you're contemplating, what are we going to get them this year? Because, you know, we got them something last year, and we don't know if this is the same thing. You get into a habit of giving and receiving gifts. But I want us to understand that the greatest gifts come from God. Amen. The most important and the perfect gifts, and we'll find Scripture for that in just a moment. But the Apostle Paul here, I want these key points to bring to our attention this morning concerning thanksgiving to God. First of all, I want to share with you this morning, and I want to remind each and every one of you, you may need to know this and probably know this if you've been serving the Lord for a period of time, but how many know sometimes we need a refreshing course? Amen. We need a continuing education. Amen. And I want to just assure each and every one of us this morning that God is able. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that this morning with authority and with confidence that God is able. Now, if you said that to your neighbor, every person here should have received that message this morning that God is able, and whatever you're facing, whatever problem may be arising in your life, you have just known that the Bible is telling us that God is able. No matter, you can fill in the blank, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem, the affliction. I heard some requests of prayer for cancer. How many knows that's not impossible for God? God is able. So many times we think that we have to put limits on God's ability. I'm here today to tell you and back it up by the Word of God that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even think or imagine. Turn again to your neighbor and say it with more confidence. God is able. Now put your hands together if you believe that. God is able. Hallelujah. We need to realize that God is able, folks, whatever we're facing, whatever problem is out there, God is able to see us through it. We know from past testimonies, we know from past experience that God has interceded on our behalf and brought us through these situations. And how many knows if God did it, He can do it again. Amen. He is not about to fail now. God is able. The second thing that He expresses here is sufficiency. Everybody say enough. God is enough.
Come on. If you've got God, if you've got the Spirit, then that's enough. Amen. Job realized it. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what he was facing, no matter the terrible things that happened in his life, the Bible tells us that in all of Job's trials, he fell down and worshiped God. Amen. If we understand and realize that God is enough, there is not a tool that Satan can come against us with and try to get us down or try to discourage us. If we turn around and rebuke him in the name of Jesus and simply tell him, Satan, God is enough. God is enough. That's all that I need. Amen. Thank him for everything else he's blessed me with, but God is all that I need. I cannot make it without him, but with him all things are possible. Amen. Sufficiency in all things. God is sufficient in every aspect of our life. We know he's the healer. Can I see a testimony? Has he ever healed your body? Come on, has he ever come on the scene? Have you ever had a miracle performed in your life? Glory to God. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to shout, thank you, Lord. When the doctors couldn't do it, God stepped in. Amen. When the professor couldn't do it, God stepped in. When the medical association could not do it, God stepped in. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your miracle. Thank you for your healing. He's sufficient in all things. But can I tell you, he's more than a healer. He's a comforter. Oh, when you're in that room that's full of empty, when you're in that room and Satan is beating you up and he's telling you, where is your God now? Where is your deliverer now? Let me tell you, God is sufficient in every aspect of my life. Not only the healer, but he is the comforter of my very life. He has come on the scene so many times for me when I needed comfort, when I needed guidance, when I just needed that strong arm to wrap around me and let me know that I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. Oh, those are wonderful words. Amen. But do we believe them? Come on, do we trust them? That God is all sufficient in every aspect of our life. Another key point that the apostle points out, his righteousness remaineth forever. Come on. Just a little while. Not just till things get better. Not just during my young life with God, but his righteousness remaineth forever. I've heard the saying that nothing ever stays the same. That change is inevitable. That may be so in materialistic world. That may be so in fads and things that come and go. But can I tell you that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He never changes. Glory to God. He never gets any less powerful than he was. He's the same each and every situation of my life. His righteousness remaineth forever. Amen. When he washed me thoroughly. Glory to God. When he saved me completely. Amen. When he came into my life, he came into my life forever. His righteousness remaineth forever. Glory to God. He is a God that never forgets except for our sins and iniquities. Those he forgives and forgets. But his righteousness remaineth forever. That lets me know that when I'm down and out, God's righteousness is still there. Glory to God. When I doubt my calling, his righteousness is still there. When I'm feeling frail and weakened in spirits, and don't sit there and look at me like you've never felt that way. Glory to God. Amen. That is within us is powerful. Powerful. strong. But that houses that spirit is not as strong. Flesh is weak. Come on, it's not my spirit that gets discouraged. But flesh sometimes does. And then my spirit has to speak to my flesh. My flesh wants to speak to my spirit sometimes. But there's a time when flesh, you just need to listen to the spirit. Because the flesh says, I can't. And the spirit says, yes, you can. The flesh says, I don't feel like it. And the spirit says, don't go by your feelings. Go by that power that is within you. Amen. The flesh says, I just don't know if God can do it. And the spirit says, He can do all things. Because my God is able. Amen. And I need that spirit to speak to my flesh. Let me know that His righteousness remaineth forever. Forever. In every avenue of my life. Wherever I go. Wherever I may journey. His righteousness is with me. That's powerful, folks. Somebody else say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. I got some chill bumps. And I don't think it's because of the temperature or the chilliness. I think the Holy Spirit is here. I just got an overwhelming urge to thank Him. Lord, I just want to thank You. Glory to God. Brother Eddie, what's going on? Well, let me tell you. I just want to thank You that I'm not laying out there on the street somewhere. Come on, we have compassion for those folks. But by the grace of God, that could be me. I just want to thank You, Lord. Because Your righteousness remaineth forever. Glory to God. I just want to thank You, Lord, that I'm not in some ICU unit this morning. Risking, burning from my breath. Living one moment at a time. Except for the grace of God, I could be there. I just want to thank You, God. I just want to thank You, Lord. Oh, let me tell you, I could be standing today looking at the little tombstone that says Kevin Edward Allen, but by the grace of God, God did what the doctors couldn't do. So thank You. I just want to thank You, Lord. Just want to thank You. Your righteousness remaineth forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. When I wanted to quit, Your Spirit said, go on. Thank You, Lord. God, I just want to thank You that when I wanted to bow my head and say, poor, pitiful me, Your Spirit said, you got to rise up. Hallelujah. That is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Do you not understand that, church? If you're born again, that is within you is greater than that is in the world. Greater than anything that come against you. Greater than any trial. Greater than any problem. Greater than any burden. Greater than any sickness or affliction. That is within you is greater than. His righteousness remaineth forever. Glory to God. Forever. Not just during my lifetime, but forever. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on living eternity. Amen. In the righteousness of God. And what Jesus Christ Himself has gone away and prepared. Glory to God. You don't know. I don't know. Our little finite minds won't let us comprehend or fathom the greatness, the wonderfulness, the majesty that our Lord and Savior has prepared for us. Oh, but when we get there, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's going to take me an eternity to thank Him. I want to bow down and love Him and praise Him and thank Him. But I also want to thank Him today. Thank You, Lord. Somehow, thank you does not seem sufficient. When we receive something from someone here on this earth, whether it be a material thing or a spiritual blessing or just a word of comfort in a time that we so badly needed that. We want to convey our thanks, and so many times it feels like that just thank you is inadequate. It's from the heart, but it just doesn't seem like it really gets the point across. And that's what I've been contemplating this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I want you to know how much I thank you, Lord. I don't want it just to be words from a lip service, God. I want it to come from my heart. I want it to come from my spirit, God. I want it to come to let you know that I cannot do anything without you. I realize that. I know that. But your word tells me I can do all things through you. Hallelujah. And for that, I'm thankful, Lord. I want to continue to give thanks to my Lord. His righteousness remaineth forever. Somebody say that with me. His righteousness remaineth forever. Another key point that the apostle addressed to the church at Corinth. Being enriched in everything. I believe that words mean something. I believe that words in the Bible are not just put there to fill in spaces or to fill in blanks. I believe that they mean something. I believe that God's Holy Spirit moved on the writers of His Holy Word as God conveyed the Word to them. He does not say that you're enriched in all pleasant things. But He does say, you're enriched in everything. Can I tell you some of our greatest spiritual maturity comes through times of unpleasant things. Things that are hard to understand. Things that are hard to accept. Things that the adversary will say, you've missed it with God and this is His punishment on you. Oh, I wish I had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with 3 microphones. No pun intended, but could not they give a fiery testimony? Glory to God. But the mindset that they had is that God enriches us in everything.
Come on, brother.
Woo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So many times, Lord, just give me a pleasant day. Lord, just make everything smooth. Lord, just let there be no bumps in the road today. Lord, just let everything go great today. And if it does, you know what? We done forgot to thank Him. But you let there be a day of unpleasantness. You let there be a day of turmoil and strife, sickness, affliction. We dial up the Lord in a hurry. Can I repeat it? Some of our greatest spiritual maturity comes through unpleasant things. Because then we feel and realize how frail we are. How frail our flesh is. How weak our body is without the spiritual blessing and anointing and the comforter of God. And that makes us appreciate the good times all the more better. That makes us appreciate the days that things do go smooth. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, that you care for me. Several months ago, I was out in the yard cutting grass, and over where we live, it is the biggest community of fire ants that I believe that is in Carroll County. I believe that the fire ants actually text one another and said, if you want to come to a place, come down to 509 East Lake Buckhorn and just build you a mound. Now, there's a fellow out there, he's going to try his best to run over every mound that's there and sprinkle it with poison, but he don't know that the very next day, we just build up another mound. And as much as I despise, and I guess I can use the word hate. I don't know if you're supposed to hate God's creatures or not, but I thoroughly despise fire ants. But I admire them. Because if that had been a group of Pentecostals, them fire ants. Hey, if you don't want me here, I'll build over here. Come on. You tear this down, I'll build over here. God, give me a mindset that whatever Satan takes from me, I'm going to build it up here. Glory to God. You may make me sick, but you ain't going to get me down. You may try to discourage me, but he that is within me is going to bless me. He's going to raise me up. He's going to pick me up out of the ashes. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to pull me out of that miry pit of clay. He's going to set me on a solid rock. He's going to establish my goings. Give me that mindset that God is able. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Being enriched in everything. I can tell you, and I won't, because you've got all your situations yourself. But if you can think back, some of the things that's happened in your life. And if you're like me, well, the first thing you think of is, God, why are you mad at me? But not Shadrach. Not Meshach, not Abednego. They didn't get that far. They said, God, why are you mad at me? They said, oh, King, even if he don't deliver us, we know he's able. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If you lift your head up during the fire, if you'll open your spiritual eyes, not only will you see your two brothers walking with you, there was a fourth figure in that fire. If you'll get your mind and your eyesight off of yourself, and you'll begin to look for that fourth man, you'll begin to look for the power of God. Amen. He didn't just throw you into the fire. He brought you into the fire. And he will not leave you. He'll go with you through the fire. Glory to God. Amen. And what else is he going to do? Anything that has you bound while you're in the fire, he's going to burn it loose. You're going to come out of the fire. No smell or smoke upon you. Amen. But everything that had you bound up when you went into the fire, suddenly you're released. All the chains are gone. You've been set free. Glory to God. You are enriched in everything. Even through the fiery furnace, you can be enriched. Put your hands together. Thank you, Lord. You are able. You are able. Glory to God. Even to close the mouths of the lions, God is able. How many knows that God wants us to be mindful of others? Man, so much so that time we're supposed to prefer our brother. Man, my dad was such a compassionate father and such a wonderful supplier that many, many times he would leave the last cookie or the last muffin. Not because he wasn't hungry or not because he wouldn't eat it, but he had two little boys. He wanted to make sure that if it was their choice, they could have it. Because he was mindful of others. Dad not only did that for his family, but Dad ran a grocery store for years and years and years. And I know for a fact that when he died, there was accounts still on the books that had never been satisfied. But Daddy said, "That's all right. That's all right, son. God will provide." He didn't get mad. He didn't get upset. He didn't try to take him to the law. He just said, "God will provide." Because he knew that as long as he put others above himself, God was going to supply his needs. Another key factor that the Apostle Paul addresses: God blesses us to bless others. Amen. He will bless the seed that you sow in order to help others. If you're helping others simply to receive a blessing, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But if you bless others to give God honor and glory, and not to toot your own horn, or not to pat yourself on the back, God sees every act of kindness you do.
Amen.
And He will bless you. I will assure you, He'll bless you more than you can imagine. Many times He does not only replenish what you gave, many times He multiplies it. Can I get a testimony? Has God ever done that for you? Come on. Don't be ashamed of it. If God ever multiplied it as you gave to others from the heart. Now certainly that can be financial. Certainly that can be with material things. But it can also mean spiritually.
Amen.
I don't know about other folks, but sometimes Pentecostals, rather than praying for one another, we won't know what's the matter with you. Well, we have good. We need to know what's the matter with you so we can know how to pray for you. And I want to get all the details. Can I tell you, God already knows the details. God don't need your version. He don't need my version. He already knows. But what He does need is our faith. If we can have the faith to believe that all things are possible, when we go to our brother and sister, I don't need to know the details. I don't need to know what you're going through. I just want you to know that if two agree as touching anything, that God in heaven will do it. Let's agree right now in the name of the Lord, and God will provide. As we bless others, thanksgiving to God. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. Every, say that with me, every, not almost every, not 50%, not 90%, but every good gift. And every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
He knows where your gifts come from.
Amen.
He knows where your blessings come from.
God.
He knows where those good days come from.
Amen.
That good health, that good family, all of those things, we attribute it to God.
Yes.
It cometh, and listen, it cometh from above, or cometh down, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. What God will do for me, He'll do for you. What He'll do for you, He'll do for them. God is no respecter of persons. He honors faith. We have not because we ask not.
Come on.
Bible says, ask and you shall receive. The things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. Every gift, every perfect gift, every good gift comes from the Father of lights. How many is thankful to the Father of lights? How many is thankful? How many knows He's able? Glory to God. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, neither a shadow or darkness or eclipsing of God's blessings. They're not in the dark somewhere. Amen. They're there for us to receive by faith.
Amen.
Do we abuse it? Yes, we do. Because so many times we're not praying for our needs, we're praying for our wants.
Come on, brother.
But God said He will supply all of our needs according to His glory. Good and perfect gifts. These are the gifts to desire.
Amen.
God, give me what you would have me to have. God, bless me with what you want me to be blessed with. Rather than, here's my list. God, I just want to go where you want me to go. I just want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you would have me to do. God, I want around me the things that you want me to have. I don't want anything that'll cause the interference between me and serving God. Because as I started this message, God is enough. God is enough. Ask Lazarus, the poor beggar. He didn't have anything else, but God was enough. Come on, God is enough. Thank God that He supplies these other things, but He is enough. If these other things begin to pull me or draw me away from God's righteousness, I don't want it. I don't need it, because God is enough. But I want to desire the good gifts. I want to desire the perfect gift, those gifts that come from the Father. When we think, or the adversary tends to make us think that we're not blessed, that maybe we've sacrificed and not been openly rewarded by God's blessing. Come on, folks, we're human. We're human. You know what causes that? Sometimes when we look around at others, oh, God, why are they? What? What am I? Job liver? I've been serving you all these years. I don't want to be offensive, but I got to share this with you. Somebody used to stand and testify, I've been in the way of the Lord for 30 years. Somebody said, you need to get out of the way. That don't cost nothing extra. Amen. But if you've been in the service of the Lord for 30 years, you've been totally dependent on God for 30 years, you've been blessed for 30 years, regardless of what you have, regardless of what's in your bank account, come on, regardless of what's in your closet, God is enough. God is enough. God is enough. But what I tell you, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll add these other things. Thank God for other things, but God is enough. Come on, God is enough. But if you ever get to thinking that, I want you to know that every woman, every man, every human being on the face of this earth has been given the most perfect gift. But not all have received the perfect gift. Several years ago, there was a precious family, and they laughed about it later, but as they was opening gifts, one of the daughters just began to cry uncontrollably. They thought that she was overwhelmed with the gift that she received. But that was not the case. This is not what I wanted. And I thought about, you know, the thoughts that went into mind. And then she opened it. This isn't, she's just been. And then I thought, Heavenly Father has given us the most precious gift. Some have accepted it joyfully and thankfully and appreciative to the Father above. But some, this is not what I wanted. Come on now. John 3:16.
Come on, brother. Come
on. For God so loved the world. You think about it. His creation. He loved the world so much that He gave perfect gift. Amen. His only begotten Son. There's a bunch of precious words in that John 3:16. In fact, that's the very first scripture my grandmother taught me and made me recite. But as I began to grow, there's some precious words in there, but I love that whosoever. Because that's where I fit. Amen. 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 That's where, that includes me. I'm one of them whosoever's. Thank God. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You don't have to perish, but can have everlasting life. Yes, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of life. God knew exactly what He was doing when He gave us that precious baby boy that was born in the stable and laid in a manger. That is the perfect gift. It was then, it still is now, the very perfect gift that we should receive. Because that is where we get everlasting life. That is the redeeming of our sinful nature. Glory to God. His righteousness remaineth forever. So thank you, God. Thank you so much for the perfect gift, your Son. What love. What love it took for God to declare His Son to be the mediator, the propitiation, the Redeemer, our salvation through His precious shed blood. So God, I know the season of Thanksgiving may have passed, but let it never pass from my heart. May I continually lift my voice, lift my hands in praise and thanksgiving to You. Not just in the pleasant times, but even in the times of sorrow and grief and sadness and turmoil. Because God, those are the times that seemingly I'm more dependent on You. And I seem to be closer to You. So I thank You that we are enriched through all things. Help me to be mindful, God, of who You are and of Your wonderful and gracious love for all of humanity. Now, Father, as I prepare to close this message, my heart's desire is that no one be lost. I hold no animosity, no anger toward any human being. I pray that they would receive that perfect gift. I pray that if they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that this would be the day. This would be the time. This would be the hour. Father, I pray that You would give them a receptive heart, an urgency, because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. The very breath that we breathe is on loan from You, God, and we thank You for that. And Father, I pray that You send a Holy Ghost revival on this land. Fill souls to full and overflowing. God, let Your Spirit, God, be first and foremost in our life and in our minds and in our actions. And we'll give You praise. Would you stand? If our music would come, with every head bowed, every eye closed, every thankful saint of God praying for the moving of His Spirit, I pray that today, if you're here, that you won't walk out that door unless you have the absolute assurity that the Lord Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior of your life. Come on, all it takes is your humbleness and your willingness to step out, come down to this altar, give and dedicate your life to the Lord. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, let's reverence the Spirit of God that's in this place. Would you come? Is God tugging at your heart? Is He speaking to you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity? If there's any doubt whatsoever, please come. Please come. Pray, saints. Pray, saints. Hallelujah. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I won't tarry long, but I do leave you with this. This altar is not the only place that you can get saved. You can find your altar anywhere you bow your knee to God. It can be in the privacy of your home. It can be in your office. But if you've not made that necessary arrangement, I pray that you do so. And please do it quickly. God bless you. We love you. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer.